And what a joy it is for us to be back at the Temple of Prayer and Praise. And I just want to say immediately that we appreciate so very, very much your kind invitation and your welcome, your hospitality, and your friendship. And I call a few of you by name, and some of you I call by the wrong name as I did this morning. But I know most of you, at least by your appearance, and you've made us feel so much at home. I was thinking this morning that probably there's no church where we feel any more welcome than what we do here. So thank you for your kindness and for the tremendous support that you have given to our mission over the years. We obviously are dedicated to what we're doing because we believe in it, and that's our ministry and our life. But you have come along beside us and become our partners and have made such a tremendous contribution in so many, many ways. Over the years, this church has literally given tens of thousands of dollars. And I say it often, but I say it with heartfelt meaning, that only eternity will reveal what has been accomplished by your prayers, by your giving, by your support. We don't know the answer to that, but God does. And I believe sometime, someday, that you will as well. But this church has contributed so much every month. We receive a contribution from your church, $100, and we appreciate that so much. And we hear from Barbara McKenzie. And I wasn't sure just who Barbara McKenzie was. I know Barbara to see her by face, but didn't put it all together. And she writes me, and we appreciate that, and sends along a little note of how the church is doing and keeps us posted. And we appreciate that. And when Pastor and Mrs. Lush go over with us, this church makes contributions of various kinds of things that are taken over. What a blessing that is to the people in that part of the world. And we appreciate so much the fact that you've allowed and have helped to send your pastor and his wife to Bulgaria and Macedonia on numerous occasions. And what a tremendous blessing they have been. We do not have anyone that is more cooperative and have made a greater contribution than your pastor and his wife. And everywhere they go, they are loved and appreciated. So someday if you get tired of them here, I know that won't happen, but if you did, there's a church over there in Bulgaria that would be glad to have them and use them for his glory. Pastor's ministry has just touched so many lives, his teaching, his preaching, his singing. And Sister Pat has made such a contribution in terms of organizing and participating, and they're just such gracious people. What can I say? I said to my wife, what do I say this morning? And she said to me, there's not enough words to express our thoughts about their contribution in that part of the world. I was thinking that, you know, when we go over there, I say to our lead pastor over there that helps us to arrange a lot of things, his name is Sen Christoph. I said to Sen, now on Sunday we only want two services. And I know that never happens, but anyway, I said we only want two. And then I thought, well, there's another church there. If we don't go there, they always feel that, you know, slighted, so we better go for a third service. And so I said, all right, we'll go for the third service. And then he said, you know, we said, we've got so much music, he said, we should have an open-air meeting. So that was four services on Sunday. Well, that was all right. We had the first service in his church, and that's always a great time together. And then we go to a little house meeting, and it's a blessing. And then we bring our team on the bus to the open-air meeting. But, of course, we've got, 15 people on the bus, and they all decide they have to go to the washroom, you know. And you know how much time it takes to go 15 people into the Shell service station, and one at a time they use the washroom. And so Ascend and I went ahead to the mall, and they're ready to start the meeting. And so he said to me, you know, you go out there and you preach. I wasn't prepared at all, but I went out there standing on the mall with all the crowd. And we've had hundreds and hundreds of people, and they left me out there for an hour and a half speaking, if you can believe. Well, that's not what I really want to tell you about. But anyway, and then along came the bus with all the people, and they did their thing. And then we went on to a service in the evening at Belitsa. Now, very interesting, because things are going very, very well at Belitza. That means nothing to you, but we have an auditorium. It's on the second floor. But we had so many people that were coming to the meeting that night that, number one, they didn't think they could get them all in the auditorium. And secondly, they felt that even if they did get them in, there was fear that, the building might give way. And so we had to hold the meeting outside, which was all right. But by the time we got the meeting started, it was getting dark. And it was amazing, because you know who the preacher was that night? Your pastor. And I remember when we introduced him, he got up there and it was already dark. And there he was preaching away in the dark to people. You couldn't even see them out there. But he continued on, faithfully preached the word just as planned, and gave the altar call. And I remember, Pastor, that night we probably had as many people indicate by the uplifted hand that they wanted to give their lives to Christ as we had any time in the 2 weeks we were there. So we appreciate that, and we thank God for him and his faithfulness. Even in the dark, he preaches whether the lights are on or whether the lights are off, whether you can see the people or not. So it doesn't matter whether you're out there or not, he's going to preach. And what a blessing they have been over the years. Well, we have a new video that we're going to show this morning entitled Russia Combat or Compromise. And I want to share some things with you this morning about Russia. Not good news. Not good news this morning. I'll share it with you in just a moment. But we are thankful to God for the opportunities we have. And friends, I want to say, I've said this for 26 years. We've got to take advantage of the situations that we have. We have no promise of tomorrow. And I will share that with you this morning. But this is the video. And I was telling June this morning, where are you, June? June, did you leave town? No, there you are. All right. Don't leave before the offering, June, please. Anyway, June was in the other video, but of course, everything's changed now. And I said it's time for her to come back and go overseas with us again so she can get in the video again. A new video, but you're going to see some people you know in that, I know for sure. So let's have that video right now. Christians in Russia and Eastern Europe celebrate their recently acquired religious freedom. This congregation rejoices by singing Slava na Boga, which means glory to God. Tragically, however, some languages spoken in these countries still have no translation of the scriptures. Others, not enough. During the 20th century, not only were Bibles banned and burned, but Christians were imprisoned, severely persecuted, even martyred by the communists. This building, known as the White House or the House of Horror, was located near Bulgaria's communist headquarters in Sofia, the place where Christians were interrogated, tortured, and savagely abused. The treatment was so vicious and barbarian, some even died as a result of their punishment. The communists would then dispose of the body and claim they had no knowledge of the individual. Needless to say, the House of Horror terrorized believers, and every communist country had a similar place of interrogation and torture. However, since the demise of communism, Russia has made a 180-degree turn. Democracy and freedom have arrived. Persecution and interrogation, for the most part, have disappeared. Churches are being constructed. Large congregations assemble for worship. The gospel is proclaimed, and Bibles are being translated, printed, and distributed. During the past decade, over 100,000 copies of the scriptures have been placed in Russian and Ukrainian schools, and Christian values and biblical principles taught to students. Similar changes have also occurred in other Eastern European nations. Although limited in supply, Bibles are being freely distributed in most of these countries. Every month, we finance Bible production and distribution. But what a thrill to personally give Bibles to someone without the Scripture. Recently, Christian leaders in Macedonia appealed to us for Bibles and New Testaments. When none were available, we had them printed. Here, pastors from various denominations carry boxes of Bibles for their congregations. What a thrilling day! A day filled with excitement and euphoria. They were piled not only in, but on top of their vehicles. Many Bulgarian churches also lack Bibles. Some don't have any. On this occasion, we personally delivered over 3,000 copies of the Word of God. This pastor was a member of the Bulgarian Parliament as well. Approximately 50 pastors enthusiastically received Bibles for their members. The few Bibles in this church were falling apart. Bibles were so limited, the church served as a lending library. Continuous use of these Bibles is reflected in their condition. When the pastor received his Bible, he was overwhelmed.
He needs a new Bible.
Майче, имаш нужда от нова Библия.
I want you to have a new Bible.
Добре, дарявам ти една чисто нова Библия. Сменихме ги, нали?
He thanked us over and over, and then hugged me in gratitude and appreciation.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Not only are Bibles scarce, but most pastors have no formal theological training and possess little in terms of resource material. Another means of outreach is children's ministry, exhibiting the love of Christ through gifts of kindness, Bibles, and Christian literature. The director of one state orphanage declared, "When you come, it is like Jesus. The children sense your love, compassion, and Christ-like spirit." Could the seed sown here produce Eastern Europe's next great spiritual leader? Arsène Christophe was a KGB agent, a communist, a member of the secret police who terrorized believers. But one day, while recovering from a near-fatal accident, the Lord miraculously spoke to him and said, "Read the Bible." The experience was so dramatic, he felt compelled to read the Scriptures, which transformed his life. Since then, he has personally founded scores of churches and delivered tens of thousands of Bibles. This cruel persecutor of the church has become one of Eastern Europe's greatest champions of the cross. Today, the vast majority of religious people living in most of the countries of the former Soviet bloc are listed as Orthodox Christians, but few attend church, even on special occasions. In fact, many in these nations, because of their atheistic and communist background, don't even know who Jesus is. Incredible, but true. Yet on the other hand, millions have come to Christ because people just like you have provided Bibles through generous gifts. But can you imagine never having a Bible or not having sufficient funds to purchase a copy of the Scriptures, or not knowing where to secure a copy of the Word of God, or not even having a translation in your tongue, or not even being aware that there was a Bible? Multitudes wait
for their copy of the Word of God. Jesus said, "For as much as you do it unto one of the least of these, you do it unto me." Your participation may well mean their salvation.
Of course, my wife was with me this morning, still having a little trouble with her back. And so you excuse her if she doesn't stand and say hello, but she'll be at the door to greet you as you leave. And many of you have already spoken to her. If you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to read just a few verses from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I'm going to ask you to stand with me, please, as we read the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Will you stand with me, please? We're going to commence reading at verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. Paul said, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus Christ may be manifest in our body." Amen. And this is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. In the last few weeks, we've had some devastating news from Russia, and I want to share it with you this morning. But let me go back simply to say that 13 years ago, the Iron Curtain and the Berlin Wall came down with a crash. Communism fled, and democracy entered the scene. Without a shot being fired, without an enemy on the horizon, and we can only conclude that it was a miracle of God. We're all aware of that. But as I have submitted to you on various occasions, that perhaps even a greater miracle than that took place just a short time later, when Russian authorities realized that after 70 years of godless communism, that they had a moral vacuum in their land, and they needed to do something about it. They needed to counter the absence of morality. And so they asked the Department of Education if they would be responsible for developing a Russian morality, which they did. And amazing, just an incredible thing took place in Russia just a few years ago, when they decided, after banning and burning the Bible for 70 years, putting people in prison if they were caught delivering the Bible, they decided that they would adopt the Bible as their standard and their textbook for morality. It was a miracle of God. Thrilling. And then we had the joy of seeing the Kindness Foundation deliver over 100,000 copies of the Bible into schools where young people looking for answers and meaning and purpose to life were exposed to the Word of God, and through it came to a knowledge of Jesus Christ as Savior. And where the government of Russia encouraged the Kindness Foundation to develop and promote Christian values and biblical principles in all of their schools, from kindergarten to university. Thrilling! And we were rejoicing, and we continue to rejoice at what God is doing and what He has been able to accomplish in the lives of so many. But just a few weeks ago, we have had some devastating news, because Russia has now passed a law that virtually destroys all Bible ministry in Russia. They have passed a law that simply stops the transfer of money to any non-governmental organization, which simply means that they are halting the movement of money to Russia to any human rights organization or charity, basically. What it means is the flow of money to those Bible ministries in Russia has virtually come to a trickle. Thriving ministries in that part of the world that were successfully carrying the Word of God to so many people, preaching the gospel, have slowed down to a crawl. And according to Dr. Fred Luzenko that I just talked to in the last couple of days, the man who has led the whole program of placing Bibles in schools, he said to me, "Jim, it's devastating." He said, "Most of the Bible ministries in Russia have just folded up their camp and have gone home." It's a devastating day. And we knew that we could face this at any time. And now we're facing it right now. And President Putin, to defend and justify the action of his government, has simply said, well, we need more transparency to know what's going on. And it was necessary to take this action to protect our people from foreign meddling. But the fact of the matter is that most people view what has taken place as simply the result of President Putin reacting to the fact that there's been protests against his rule. And so anybody that has activists who have protested, they have arrested, and now he's brought about this rule. But what it has done, friends, it's made it exceedingly devastating as far as ministry in that part of the world. Will it continue? Oh, yes, we will continue our ministry, and many others will as well. But today it's very, very difficult for us to get money into Russia to provide Bibles and to promote and to preach the gospel of Christ. And we need to pray that God will somehow undertake, and even in the midst of this devastation, open a door that the gospel might be continued to be preached in that part of the world. I want to say this morning, in spite of everything that's taken place, and it is rather sad to report, the fact is that Mr. Putin and the Russian government is not in control, but God is. Can you say amen? God is in control of this situation, and his will be done. And friends, I don't care what happens in the Russian parliament or what Mr. Putin says or what laws are passed. The fact is simply this. Jesus said, "I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Can you say amen? Praise God. And that simply means that when the church of God begins to move out, that the powers and the authorities of this world will not be able to hold it back, but it will go and it will accomplish that which I send it to do, which is according to the work of God. Praise God. Well, it was rather devastating news, and Friday night I called my friend Dr. Fred Luzenko, the Russian who has been leading this whole program to place Bibles in schools, and I said, "Give me an update. What's happening?" In fact, I've talked to him three times this past week. And he said to me, "It is bad news. It is devastating." He said, "But I want you to know there is still freedom in Russia. And we are still able to get the Bibles into the schools. And we are still able to preach the gospel. And we are still able to teach teachers how to teach the Word of God." He said, "It's an amazing thing." But he said, again, he said, "Just recently we've had the privilege of conducting three seminars in Russia where we have been able to teach hundreds of teachers how to teach the Word of God in their classrooms." Unbelievable! Such a thing is not happening in North America, I'll tell you that, but it's happening in Russia. And he reminded me that over the years they have been able to teach over 100,000 teachers how to teach the Word of God in schools. And he said about 75% of them, as far as we are concerned, have come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ as Savior. Amen. Praise God. And so we are thrilled, in spite of what the enemy is doing, the ministry of the Lord Jesus continues, and we rejoice in his action. Then on Saturday morning, 1 o'clock in the morning, most of you are in bed. It's where I should have been. But I was on the telephone. I was calling my friend, Pastor Ilya Bantsev in Siberia. I mean, you know, Siberia in January is not the place to be. I was there a couple of years ago, and in the daytime, it was minus 35, minus 40 degree below zero. And then at night, it really got cold. And I remember that, and I was thinking about that, and I thought, well, those people in Siberia, probably most of them, are pulling on their long johns and pulling down their hat over their ears and cuddling up and sitting by the fire. So I called my friend Ilya to see what he was doing. And I called him, and it's 12 hours different. So it was just about 1 o'clock in the morning here, but it was 1 o'clock in the afternoon there. And so I said to him, what are you doing? Well, he said, I'm just on my way to the evangelistic service at the church. Wow. And I said, well, what's happening? Well, he said, we're having a campaign right now. He said, we're having Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames, a program that most of you have heard about, a drama. And they're having 2 and 3 services every day. And he says, scores and scores of people have come to Christ as Savior. Hallelujah. And so we're rejoicing. I mean, in the midst of the day of devastation, when Russia is passing laws, people are coming to Christ, and the Word of God is being declared, and revival services being held, and we must work the work of Him who has called us while we can do it, while it is day. For the night we will come when we're not able to preach the gospel. He said, Brother Jim, he said, we need Bibles. Can you provide some Bibles? Well, I'm not sure just how we're doing it, but yesterday I sent him several thousands of dollars, and we're just hoping it'll get through. We can still do it in certain legal ways, but the transfers of funds are no longer available to us. But we're believing God that in spite of the Russian laws and the fact that many of them have moved out and left Russia, that the work of God will continue. He said, we've even moved into a lot of orphanages, and we need Bibles for children. He said, we're doing a lot of work in penitentiaries, and we need Bibles for the people in the penitentiaries and the teen challenge work. He said, we need Bibles. We need the Word of God. And that's where the people of the Temple of Prayer and Praise come into the program. You've helped us and continue to help us provide Bibles, and we are going to provide those Bibles and do the work that God has called us to do. Well, that's sort of a negative note in one sense. And yet at the same time, we have had more opportunities to share Bibles and preach the gospel than perhaps we've ever had in our lives over the last year or so. And just thrilled. Well, your pastor and his wife were with us. We had the privilege of personally delivering between 2,500 and 3,000 Bibles. And what a thrill that is. Every month, every single month, we send hundreds and thousands of dollars to that part of the world to translate, print, and distribute Bibles. What a joy it is for us to go ourselves and literally hand Bibles to pastors and people to read the Word of God. Well, I want to tell you about my friends, Sylvia and Regic Bantsev this morning. I've shared with you in the past something about a Muslim mayor living in Bulgaria. But Ollie and I had the privilege of sitting down with them for an hour or two while we were there in October. And they filled us in on their whole story. And I want to share it with you. It's just very, very thrilling. And if there's a little speck that you've heard before, I understand that. But here's what they told us, and I'd never heard it before, but they shared their past history. Silva was a school teacher. I've shared that with you. She had been teaching high school math and science for 32 years. And she said, you know, I wanted a Bible, but she said, I couldn't get a Bible. She said, I really sought for a Bible for 25 years. Unbelievable. She said, it's just as a young girl, she said, I wanted a Bible. But she said, I lived in a Muslim community. And it was during the time of communism, and I couldn't get a copy of the Word of God. And then one day along came a nurse and gave her a copy of the scriptures. And she took the scriptures into her home, into the back room, began to read the Word of God. And there she gave her life to Jesus Christ. And she told us as she sat there in October, she said, you know, when I became a Christian, she said, I became fearless. She said, I would witness to everyone, everywhere. And she said, I prayed all the time. That's what she said. And as she told us the story, sitting there in that little bedroom there in Devon, in Moscow, or in Bulgaria, the tears were just running down her cheeks. And she told us how that because that she was such a witness for Christ and sharing her faith, that people would alienate her. And her school and her family, and then even her own husband. And she told how that she was beaten and bruised and broken for her faith and some of the things that she went through, the persecution because she was a Christian. She said, you know, my husband, you know, was embarrassed because I was a Christian. He was the Muslim mayor, very powerful in the community. And now his wife had become a Christian, and it was very embarrassing to him. And so he said, he told lies about me to my father. And she said, my father believed my husband. And my father took me, she said. Even though she was a married woman with a child, her father took her, and he physically beat her. Then she said, one day I was home and I was praying. She said, there I was down on my knees and I was praying for my family and praying for my alcoholic brother. And my brother happened to come in, half sedated, I guess, whatever, and saw her and heard her praying, and he took her and he physically beat her. She said, my husband beat me over and over again. She said, in fact, I remember the last time my husband beat me. He threw me down on the bed, and then he took his fist, and he was going to hit me in the face. And she said, a natural reaction, she said, I threw up my foot. And she said, when I threw up my foot, it caught him in the arm, and I hurt him. She said, I don't know how serious it was. He wouldn't say. He just left. But she said, the next day when I saw him, there he was with a cast from his fingers right up to his shoulder. She said, I guess I broke his arm. I said, well, do you think that you did that? Or do you think that maybe God intervened for you? She said, I don't know. I think it was the Lord. Nevertheless, she said, I'll tell you, after that, he never touched me again. Well, I guess not. But she went through so much for her faith, persecuted and broken and bruised because of her faith in Jesus Christ and for years. And then one day the miracle took place. She said, because my son, after these years, gave his life to Jesus Christ. You know, it's very thrilling because sometimes people get saved and then you wonder what happens to them after that. They're all right for 2 or 3 years or whatever, and then they sort of wander away. Where is her son today? Interesting. Do you know where her son is today? Today, he is a pastor in Bulgaria. Praise God. And then her daughter, her married daughter who lived in the next town, after a little while, she gave her life to Christ. It's interesting what happened to her. Today, she and her husband are missionaries in Turkey. And then her alcoholic brother came to the Lord. Wonder what happened to him. Well, today he is a pastor among the Gypsy Roma people. And then other people of the community came to the Lord. And there was a real landslide of victory after she had gone through so many years of persecution and trial and beating and bruising and all of the rest of it. But her husband refused to hear the gospel. And he hardened his heart. And he became an alcoholic. And he got into gambling. And he lost hundreds of thousands of dollars. And he was in real trouble. But still, he would not listen to her or hear the gospel. But at last he came to the place, she said to me, I feared that he was going to commit suicide. So she said, I said to Reggie, we've got to go and see the man of God, one of the preachers that we support down the road, some miles away. And she said, I was amazed because my husband is rough and tough, but he was so low, so discouraged. He said, okay, I'll go. And so they went to see the pastor, and the pastor was able to lead him to Jesus Christ as Savior. And how thrilling it was. And I shared with you that I had the privilege of giving to that Muslim mayor, Rijek, his first Bible. How thrilling that was. I'll never forget that. Giving him his Bible. He loved the Bible. He hugged the Bible and he wept. And then he hugged me and he wept all over me. What a thrilling experience that was. Have you ever been hugged by a Muslim mayor? Pastor, were you hugged by the Muslim mayor? You need to stick close to me. Anyway, he hugged me and he wept. But that's all history now. A year later, which was last October, just a few months ago, we were there and that's when we had the meeting with them. And I remember because we had lunch together. And he was telling us, giving us an update on what was happening. He told us how that he not only was the mayor of the community, but he owned his own construction company. I guess he was pretty powerful and made a lot of money. And then he said, I own 5 buses. He said, I used to transport the workers back and forth to the job. He said, made a lot of money. But he said, then because of my gambling and because of alcohol and all the rest of it, he said, I began to lose everything. And he said, now, he said, I don't have 5 buses any longer. I just have 2. And I remember sitting there at the table in Devon, and I said to him, I believe that God is going to bless you because you have come to Christ and because you're serving the Lord and doing what's right. And I believe the Lord is going to give you the buses back. And I said, I'm so excited about it. I said, as soon as you get your 3rd bus, I want you to email me and let me know so I can rejoice with you. And he stopped me right there. He said to me, Jim, I don't care about buses. He said, I don't care about my construction company. I don't care about money. He said, my only concern is that I am able to lead my people to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. So very thrilling. So we get up to leave. And this Muslim mayor, he threw his arms around me once again. And he hugged me. And again he wept. He kept getting my shirt all wet every time I meet that guy. And he hugged me, and he turned to me, and he said to me, Jim, he said, I love you. Wow. Have you ever had a Muslim mayor pastor tell you he loves you? No. Stick with me. And this Muslim mayor, after all of that, would you believe he kissed me right there? And then he kissed me over here. It was wonderful. Pastor, have you ever had a Muslim mayor kiss you? Stick with me. You need to send the pastor back to Bulgaria. He's missing out on all of these good things. But what a thrill to have this man who was a Muslim mayor now serving the Lord. He told me, he said, you know, he said, we're building a church for the Lord Jesus. We were there a year or so ago, and just a little church in a totally Muslim community. What a thrill. But because they haven't got the church completed, he said, we've gone to the authorities in Bulgaria and we have registered our home as a church. Praise God. He said, we're just anxious to reach our people with the gospel of Christ. But again, I thought of it, my friends. It was one Bible that came into Guvren. Guvren didn't have any Bibles. High school teacher couldn't get a copy of the Word of God for 25 years. And then one was given to her, but one Bible, and she came to Christ. One Bible in Guvern, that's all there was. One Bible. And her son comes to Christ and he's a Bulgarian pastor. One Bible. And her daughter comes to the Lord and she's a missionary in Turkey. One Bible. And an alcoholic brother comes to Christ and he's preaching to the gypsy people. One Bible. And a Muslim mayor comes to Christ and he's building a church for the Lord Jesus. One Bible. The power of the Word of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's thrilling, friends, because the fact is that Bible, one Bible, could well have been provided by somebody from this very church here. It's possible, absolutely possible. We provided the Bibles. We don't know how they got them or what the situation is. Virtually every Bible, I'm told, in southwestern part of Bulgaria has been provided by ministry to Russia and Eastern Europe. Chances are very high that somebody we know, somebody we've preached to, provided that Bible. Only eternity will reveal what has been accomplished by your giving and praying. Bible like that, Russian Bible, still going in, even though the doors have been closed partially. The question is asked, how long do we have in Russia? This is a serious thing. Is this just the beginning of the end, when Russia will close the doors to the gospel? When I was in Siberia 2 years ago, Pastor Ilya Bantsev, who pastors a church of 1,400, said, Jim, I've said this to you before, as much as we're excited about what is happening, the fact of the matter is the doors could close overnight. We don't know how long we have. We've just got to be about our Father's business and be as diligent as we possibly can while it is day. A Bible like that, $10, $3.50 for the soft cover. The children's Bible, still the most popular Bible in Russia, still costs us $10. The study Bible for pastors, $25. Whatever you give in the missionary offering today is going to help us in our Bible ministry. Very thrilling, because in April, Ollie and I and a team from Chicago are going back to Bulgaria. We're going to miss not having your pastor and his wife there. Won't feel quite right. But we're going to be there. And the amazing thing is that Pastor Hassan has already said, Brother Jim, we need to go to a community. I've forgotten the name of it. It doesn't matter. He said, we're going to have a conference for ministers, and we've got a dozen pastors with churches. They don't have Bibles. Can you help us? And we're going to have the joy once again of taking hundreds of Bibles to deliver them to pastors and people who do not have a copy of the Word of God. Oh, what a thrill to share God's Word with the people in that part of the world. Let me close this morning by simply sharing this with you. Such a thrilling day that we have in that area. Bulgaria, in many ways, is where East meets West. Bulgaria is where the Islam religion is invading the Western world. If you look on the map, you'll see it right through Turkey. And there's a lot of conflict. The southwestern part of Bulgaria is where we do a lot of our ministry, where your pastor and his wife have given so much and have represented you and given what you have provided. But it's an area where I am told there are 93 communities, southwestern Bulgaria, where we are, 93. 100 years ago, there wasn't one mosque, Muslim mosque, not one, in any of those towns. Today, every single community, every one of the 93, have at least one, if not two or more. They tell me that the Muslim missionaries come in there with suitcases filled with the Quran and money and literature, and give it freely. In fact, they will even pay you if you will just sit and listen to them tell you about the faith, the Islam. At the same time, so many of Christians in the churches there, born-again believers, don't even have Bibles. Last year when your pastor was there and his wife, we had the privilege of giving Bibles to churches that didn't have any Bibles at all. Why should it be? New converts, we don't have Bibles for them. People that are seriously concerned about the gospel, we don't have a Bible for them. And yet the Muslim missionaries come in there with Bibles and monies and their holy books and all the rest of it. We need to be about our Father's business. Well, in April we're going over. We'll have the thrill of taking some of the money that you give us this morning, some of the money that you give us monthly, and provide some Bibles and deliver them on your behalf. May God challenge us. Russia seemingly is closing the doors. I don't know how much time we have, friend, but we must be about our Father's business while it is day. May He challenge our hearts this morning with missions. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege we've had of sharing the burden of our hearts. Lord, we rejoice for the partnership that we have enjoyed with Pastor and Mrs. Lush, with the board of this church, with the congregation, who have been so supportive, who have stood with us, as well as other missions I know. But we thank you, God, for their support and the support of so many. But may we realize time is short. Those doors may close before the sun rises tomorrow. You may come tonight. May we be about your business while we can. Speak to our hearts this morning. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.